This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, good text here as we head into the 9 o'clock hour on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Texter says, I didn't dislike Laramie Tunsil, but I've been telling my wife they have to fix the O-line or everything else is meaningless. I was like, yes, they get it. Thank goodness. And that was a thought that I had, Seth, as this was all unfolding yesterday. Like, these aren't dummies that run the team or coach the team. Like, they've seen what we've been seeing for a long time. It's just that I felt like during the season they were paying lip service to it, that acted like, no, the offensive line is real. It's everything, you know.
Yeah,
we're this close,
right?
You know?
Yeah, like, no, it's not just the offensive line.
Right.
There's lots of stuff. Now, obviously, Bobby Slowick had a lot to do with it too.
Yeah,
just actions speak louder than words. Bobby Slowick was fired. Shaq Mason was released. Laramie Tunsil was traded away. That the things that they're doing to address the situation that others on the outside of Houston are saying, whoa, how could you get rid of your best pass protector? It honestly, Ben, if you could pull up the C.J. Stroud audio again. This is C.J. Stroud on the Pivot podcast last year talking about Laramie Tunsil.
You know, like, the main dude was LT. Like, you know, LT, like, he a vet. Like, he not doing an extra practice. Like, you know, like.
He's not doing anything extra at practice.
That guy.
Which, look, I played in the NFL 10 years. I've seen there's lots of guys around the league that are kind of vet type guys. But you have to go back to D'Amico and think about that SWARM acronym that he lives by.
Yes.
Special work ethic. Special work ethic and relentless mindset. And you think about some of the better players on this team that have a workaholic mentality. Derek Stingley is out there before practice, after practice. He's a younger guy, sure. Oh, Danielle Hunter, Jerry Hughes, guys like that out there before practice, after practice, working with the younger guys. Stephon Diggs, last year, I would say he was swarm. He was always working with somebody, doing this, doing a little bit extra all the time. Special work ethic and relentless mindset. It's not just a placard that some coaches put up on the wall because it's a good speech in training camp. That is his religion. That's his football religion. Special work ethic and relentless mindset. And meanwhile, you've got your young, impressionable quarterback talking about what he thinks a vet is, and that's Laramie Tunsil. That it's unacceptable. If you're going to be true to your word, you know, if your football religion is special work ethic and relentless mindset, you can't be making excuses for somebody in your congregation just going out and, you know, living like a wild man away from the church.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got to believe it. You got to be like a fundamentalist in terms of your football religion. And it's you know, people can say all they want. They're like, well, no, he was fine. He was well-liked in the locker room. Yeah, that's
an
issue.
Yeah.
When the guy that's the highest paid and when, yeah, he's not a jerk or an a-hole or anything, that's an issue in terms of leadership by example. That's when, it's the offensive line, the position that is supposed to be the most blue-collar, the most selfless, also has the highest paid guy who has more false starts over a five-year period than anybody else in the league, which is selfish in and of itself.
Yeah.
That's not leadership.
No.
That's a bad example.
Yeah, and that he's getting voted a captain each of these seasons is a huge red flag.
Right, yeah. The fact that his players, the fact that his teammates vote him a captain, that's just a problem. That's not an endorsement.
That's not just liking a guy. That's liking a guy to the nth degree.
And like, having a bad understanding of what kind of football player you have as a leader and who you should want to be.
Yeah.
It's just, yes, and look, it's reflected on the offense, not just because of Laremy Tunsil, but there's no part of that offense, save for several guys, where you feel like, oh yeah, that guy knows what swarm is.
Right.
Very few of them.
Very few. And they need to bring guys in that demonstrate that example. Yeah, we've had people texting in, and I've seen on Twitter too, what's the comp with the Hopkins trade here? And I would say the only similarity with the Hopkins trade for me, that's 5 years ago now, is that DeAndre Hopkins also, in part, got sent out because he didn't like to practice either. You know, Laremy doesn't like to practice. DeAndre doesn't like to practice. I think that's where the similarities end. Like, DeAndre was still elite at his job. They didn't get back nearly enough for him. In fact, you could argue they got negative back for him because of what David Johnson was when they got him here. To me, the big difference with the two trades was just internalizing both of them. The Hopkins trade, that day, I remember standing at my counter in my kitchen waiting to see what the compensation was. When I saw the tweet yesterday, Seth, that they put up on ESPN when I was out around enjoying this nice weather watching ESPN outside, and they said that Laremy Tunsil has been traded to Washington for a package of picks, I really didn't care what the picks were. I mean, I cared. I didn't want it to be 2/6 or something like that. And I knew it wouldn't be. I know that Laremy is still highly regarded by teams that aren't around him every day and see that maybe he's not as swarmy as some outside this market think he may be. I was more about what was going out. I was more about the fact that, okay, this offensive line room is not going to be the ethos of that offensive line room will no longer be held hostage. The standard will no longer be, oh, our best player practices when he wants to and jumps off sides or false starts all the time. So that part I was excited about, like, okay, now we can reimagine this offensive line room. Titus better get on board or you're next, that kind of thing. The other thing that really hit home with me was the same thing that hit home when Bobby Slowick got fired, which is, my concern during the season when things were going very poorly and it felt like D'Amico Ryans was taking up for guys that did not deserve to be taken up for to an extreme degree. And I understand coaches don't want to throw guys under the bus. I get all that. That offensive line was going to get C.J. Stroud killed at one point during the season. Be angry about it, please. And I'm sure D'Amico is. He's better at containing his anger than maybe I am or you am. But real quick, my big question was, could he make this? Like, will he make these hard types of decisions easily? And he did. Like, he fired Bobby Slowick 3 days after the season was over, and he's working with Nick right now to do a complete overhaul of this offensive line.
Well, and to get back to the question you started that with, how do you compare this to the DeAndre Hopkins trade? The biggest thing that, whether you, no matter how you feel about either of those players, DeAndre Hopkins or Laremy Tunsil, the compensation was appropriate in this one.
Mm-hmm.
This is the big drastic thing about the DeAndre Hopkins trade was it felt very much like Bill O'Brien just wanted to be rid of him no matter what. And it was awful, awful, awful compensation when the rest of the league wasn't even aware that the Texans were trying to trade DeAndre Hopkins. It was very poorly executed. Yeah. By and large, most of the smart, nerdy types are saying that this is appropriate compensation. So I don't have any issue, especially the days of trading of two first round picks or whatever else for a player that's fallen out of fashion the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
So the compensation is appropriate as opposed to the DeAndre Hopkins situation, which was drastically wrong.
I'm happy with the compensation. A few texts on the Jim Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, CJ would get his ass handed to him because of the O-line, and then none of those fat bastards would come pick him up or help him up.
Yeah, they're too tired. Yeah. They're like, oh, I got to go clubbing later.
Remember
got Coachella tickets.
As long as we're bringing up Laremy Tunsil's greatest hits on this day in which he's being sent out of town, remember the Denver game? CJ's rookie year where CJ went nose-to-nose with Alex Singleton, and it turned into a bit of a shoving match, and all the offensive linemen came running over except for...
Yeah.
Laramie's like, that's a long way to run, man. That's happening really far away from
Yeah, it's and the bigger part of it, too, is when I see people outside of Houston say, well, he's such a good pass protector. Right, but he's not a good run blocker.
No.
He tried. He had a little stretch this year where it looked like he was okay. He made some progress as a run blocker, but even then – it was still a lazy version of run blocking. Whenever he had a chance to just kind of pivot on somebody and seal him off, instead of reach him, he would take the easy way out, and defenses started to game that. That's why his stretch of good run blocking was kind of short-lived, because defenses started to figure out, oh, outside zone's going to get turned back in because Laramie's just going to wheel on a guy, not get marked down on the run grade for that play, and then we'll just wait and see. If you can't run the ball on first or second down, you end up in second and long. You end up in third and long. And that doesn't hurt Laremy Tunsil's pass blocking grade much because he's really good at pass protecting. It hurts your team because you don't have good pass protectors elsewhere.
Yeah.
So it's you can't just say, oh, it's a modern NFL. Run game doesn't really matter that much. It matters if you're awful at it. It matters if you're atrocious at run blocking, because even when Joe Mixon would have good days rushing, there would still be way too many instances and plays and series in which he got tackled for a loss. You know, then the drive is over. Once you're tackled for a loss on first or second down, it's really, really hard to convert that set of downs. So he was part and parcel to the run game not taking off. That wasn't exclusively his fault. And there was just zero physicality to his game in the manner in which D'Amico Ryans wants his football players to look like.
Yep.
Like he wants guys that play like the guys on defense do. And you can't have the bell cow in terms of contract on offense being the guy who cares least about physicality.
I agree. I totally agree. Now, that said, if you want to kind of contextualize the urgency with which they need to act now, both in free agency and the draft, I'm guessing, Seth, if they were to have to play a game today, as far as what's in the building right now on the offensive line.
Yeah.
If they had to play a game today, I'm just going through this in my head and looking at the depth chart. Your starting offensive line as of right now, it's obviously going to change, but just to contextualize, would probably be left to right, Blake Fisher left tackle, Kenyon Green left guard, Jarrett Patterson center, Juice Scruggs right guard, and Titus Howard at right tackle.
Yeah.
You got to find guys.
Right, they got to find some guys. They've got to get better play out of those guys.
Yeah.
I'm more optimistic than I know the vast majority of people are about the potential for some of those guys to be better next year just by hopefully having a better offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. We don't know if Kaylee's going to be a better offensive coordinator or not until he does it, but the fact that Kaylee just really hammers home fundamentals when I've seen him speak, that matters because Bobby Slowik was not a fundamentals guy. I don't know how much he really ever talked about it. He talked about execution, but not how to get the execution.
Right.
And there were a lot of things that the offensive line was doing last year that were fundamentally haphazard and bad. I know, because there's a lot of really good high school football coaches in Houston. I know there are a lot of the high school coaches in Houston this year that were like wondering what the hell they were doing, or what is that footwork? Is that something I should be teaching in a clinic? Because it sure doesn't look very good.
Right.
It was bad. It was really, really bad.
Yep.
So the assistant offensive lineman, Cole Popovich, offensive line coach, is now your assistant, your head offensive line coach.
Yeah.
I don't know how much he was biting his tongue last year. I don't know how much, you know, he probably had a good and frank and open and honest discussion with Nick Kaylee and D'Amico Ryans about what went wrong on offense last year. But you got to hope that Cole Popovich was, as a good employee, doing what you're told and trying to do to the best of your ability what you're being asked to do, but inside dying because he thought things needed to be done differently.
Yeah. And hopefully they're well on their way to something that looks a little bit more like what he wants to coach. Yeah.
When Cole Popovich was named the assistant coach, I saw a lot of people say, well, why didn't he do something? Why didn't he speak up? You gotta think about this the way a hierarchy like a football team works. It's that you're an assistant offensive line coach. You are low man on the totem pole. It's right between the quality control assistants and the actual assistant coach. That's you. You can make suggestions. You can maybe diplomatically suggest things depending on what the personality of your coaches are. But there's only so much you can do. Yeah. You got to hope that Cole Popovich was the classic guy who was like, oh boy, I'm going to be good. I'm going to be a good soldier. I'm not going to say a damn thing, but I would do things differently.
Yeah. You can't take the wheel. you know, you're riding shotgun. You can't take the wheel. Sorry. You can suggest.
It's not the way. Yeah. Show me all of the young lieutenants that ascended to general
right.
by telling their colonels they were idiots for the way they were doing things.
Thank you.
Just got to, there's a chain of command that you got to follow.
Larry's in Stafford, I'm guessing, has thoughts on Laramie Tunsil. What's up, Larry?
What's going on, gentlemen? I just, I really had to get in here today to tell y'all that, my excitement level when Laramie Tunsil's ass was shipped out of Houston yesterday, it almost mirrors the day the franchise was named to come to Houston. And I'll tell you why. Laramie Tunsil was an albatross in that building over there. And I don't give a damn about all the dudes in the locker room talking about he was a great dude and all this other stuff. What we were watching with Laramie Tunsil was probably one of the most selfish football players I've ever seen. He had no interest in being a leader. Leaders are people that have people follow them. And when Laramie Tunsil was out on the field and playing football the way that he was playing football, the rest of those dudes looked as passive as he is. And the fact that Nick and D'Amico realized that they had to change that whole attitude on that offensive line, because if we were going to go anywhere as a team, it had to be with removing that Astrodome, which I call Laramie Tunsil. You get his ass out the building and send him to wherever you want to send him, and you allow that locker room to become rejuvenated, because now there's going to be a completely different energy on that offensive line. We watched Laramie Tunsil try to run block for 5 or 6 seasons, and we're just like, well, all his PFF grades saying that he's the best pass rusher, pass blocking dude, and we're watching this dude have dudes run stunts on him, and he's looking around trying to figure out how to fix his gloves. It was about as frustrating as it could possibly be, and the compensation that we got for him was well within line. Don't even compare it to that DeAndre Hopkins, because the only name you have to mention in that DeAndre Hopkins trade was that sorry-ass number 31, Donald David Johnson. We are in a better place right now because the Houston Texans understand that if you're going to play football, you have to be stout in the trenches. Fellas, I was so happy yesterday because it just finally made sense to me that D'Amico is the leader that's going to lead these boys to the promised land, because you have to do stuff like that and get those kind of dudes out of your locker room so that you can put the kind of foundation in place. And if that offensive line is going to do anything, they better protect my quarterback. And D'Amico and Nick understood that, fellas, and aha.
I appreciate it, Larry. You know what would be fun is if they traded Titus to Washington also, and then the Coachella twins would be back together again. Washington can get a real taste of what skinny jeans on O-linemen are like.
Cliff Kingsbury's probably thrilled.
Right, I know.
He's like, oh, man.
That's what I said earlier. I feel like Laramie kind of will vibe with Cliff a little bit. You know?
Yeah, they can be trading EDM playlists and everything. They'll be good. Yeah,
good,
yeah.
Man. That'd be good. Give him Titus too, man. As long as we're at it, just ship him Titus for a 6th. Take his salary. Just throw another 6th. You get the.
It's look. I don't need to. I don't want to even make it about personal this or that or like anything, character flaws or whatever. Just from a football film standpoint, when you watch Laramie Tunsil play football, yes, he's a very, very good pass protector. But there is nothing about his game, including the selfishness of all of his false starts, there's nothing about his game that personifies the type of player that D'Amico Ryans wants. And leadership by paycheck is a thing in the NFL. When you've got young players that want to be regarded as one of the best at their position, yep, and they want to make a boatload of money and they get that second contract, when the example they see in front of them every day is a guy that just kind of cares about one aspect of the game, doesn't do anything extra, embodies zero of the swarm, special work ethic and relentless mindset that D'Amico Ryans lives by, it's bad. It's a bad example for the position group that is the still, despite everything that's changed in professional football and the way players are more encouraged to express their personalities, all that, that's the position group where you want old school guys that are selfless, that care about their teammates, that don't blame the damn center for their own false starts.
Yeah.
Like, how many different centers did he blame for false starts by insinuation over the years?
However many they've had over 6 years.
Yeah, and it only ever seemed to be a problem for Laramie.
Yeah.
None of the other offensive linemen had an issue with the center in the snap count.
Dude.
But somehow Laramie, the best offensive player, or best offensive lineman, couldn't figure out it was the center's fault.
Garrett,
yeah. Like, you just can't do it.
Garrett from Houston Stressens has a cut-up. I think it looks like, I didn't get through the whole video, but it looks like it's all of Laramie's false starts. At least from the Vikings game, which was a lot. And yeah. The very first one, man, or it might have been the second one, that there's more than one that I have to remember is an indicator of the problem. But there was one, and you know a false start's coming because that's what the gist of the video is. He's leaning backwards the whole time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you can tell because you know a false start's coming, you're dialed in on him, and he looks like he's about to tip over. And like, oh, here it comes. And then all of a sudden, he just can't hold himself anymore. And he just basically just falls backwards into a full drop step. You know what I mean? And nobody's moved on either side of the football. Like,
he was a football version of, man, having bubble guts and just trying to get to the toilet on time. It was just, it's about to blow.
Here it goes. Oh. We're giving away rodeo tickets in the next segment, so be listening for that. There is one big release that we are counting down on here in my mind still. As a Houston Texan fan, we'll tell you who it is coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
So the Texans have made a bunch of moves. The biggest one, obviously, is the Laramie Tunsil trade. But in terms of guys that they've gone and signed, they've not really been spending in any expensive aisles yet. You know, the most expensive signing they've had, Seth, best I can tell, unless anything's changed, and I've got the push notifications rocking and rolling right now. The biggest signing they've had is Sheldon Rankins, 1 year, $7 million. Everything else seems to be in that $2 million to $5 million range.
Yeah, right now. It was a big move trading Tunsil. Obviously, that's the biggest move. Yeah, that's by far the biggest move of the offseason. And it's subtraction, maybe addition by subtraction in the long term. Obviously, that. We're pretty much unanimously in Houston, at least 87% of Sean Pendergast followers think that this is a really good trade. I agree that it's if you want to fix that offensive line room, it's more than just about swapping in a player here or there. It's about, A, the offensive coordinator, and can he be better than Bobby Slowick was? And, B, can you actually take on the D'Amico mindset?
Yeah.
Can you have a swarm mentality? Can you be more like the defense? For people pointing out that, hey, he was actually well-liked by his teammates. They voted him captain.
Yeah.
Right. The offense, usually the offense votes for the offensive captains. The defensive players don't vote for the offensive captains.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys on offense don't know what the hell good football looks like.
No.
They don't. They were a soft offense last year.
Especially the young ones.
Yeah, a guy who's really good at playing finesse football is not the leader that I want or need to be an example for the younger players. There was nothing about that offense that was that was tough or physical or, for large swaths of the season, all that good.
Yeah.
So I don't care what the players on the offense thinks. Get rid of – find out who voted for Tunsil for captain. And then get rid of them.
We need their votes publicized. Yes. This is like ripping off a Band-Aid, but you got paid to rip off a Band-Aid. Like, oh, Tunsil's gone. Oh, here's four draft picks. And they it's almost like also they paid off a couple of your credit cards. That's the cap space, you know? Like, oh, by the way, Tunsil's gone. The offensive line can move on. You don't have to pay a salary anymore. You're saving a bunch of money. Oh, and here's a second, a third, a fourth, and a seventh.
But the draft picks... Immediately you think, okay, no, maybe they'll trade up for an offensive tackle in the first round. Maybe they've got plans on doing that. But it does also give you, you know, potential for trading for an active player right
sure.
now.
Yeah.
And once when the dust clears from free agency and you start to see some of the moves that have been made, there might be some teams that look at it and think, well, it might happen quickly because some of these teams have to create cap space.
Yeah.
So there could be a trade immediately in the works for an active player, but also there could be something down the road after the dust really clears.
That wouldn't shock me at all. We are counting down to, I think here in Houston, a lot of people, to the release of Cooper Kupp. I don't think does the Christian Kirk trade alter your appetite for Cooper Kupp at all on the Houston Texans side?
It does a little bit because Christian Kirk has had injury issues mm-hmm. in two successive mm-hmm. seasons. He was healthy for a good stretch of time, but early in his career, he had some injuries too. I don't want to, you know, sometimes that's just bad luck. And a broken collarbone, that might just be bad luck.
Yeah.
So he's had a couple of injuries in the last 2 years. Cooper Kupp's been injured each of the last three seasons. Mm-hmm. He's missed at least four games in each of the last three seasons. So when you look at an aging group of wide receivers, two of whom, well, and Nico Collins has been injury prone
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
it dampens my appetite a little bit. If Cooper Kupp was the only addition they had made, then I might have been more reluctant to trade for a Christian Kirk
yeah.
just because of the injury dynamic. So yeah. that's where my hesitancy is there with that.
It looks like he's going to get released unless there's a trade that comes down in the next 24 hours or so. They have to wait till Wednesday. The league year officially begins tomorrow afternoon. For whatever reason, they have to wait until then to release him, probably some cap reasons or whatever. But, you know, if he gets released, then whatever contract he was under and whatever draft pick you'd have to give up to get him becomes a moot point. He's just a dude on the street looking for a job in the NFL. So I will always say at the right price, I would do it. I guess the question becomes, what price would that be? And now that you've got another acute need on the offensive line, wide receiver might get muted a little bit in terms of its urgency just because now you've got tackle and guard that are both yeah. needs on this football team. You know?
And, you know, how do they feel about Blake Fisher? And do they expect him to develop into a bona fide starter at one of the offensive tackle positions?
Yeah.
I think interior offensive line is still, you know, they didn't have anybody at the end of the year that they thought was better than Shaq Mason. A lot of us figured at some point during that Chiefs game, in the fourth quarter especially, I was thinking, well, just put Juice Scruggs in
yeah.
at right guard. What? Do something.
Get him
Do
out.
Do something other than this atrocity that we're watching unfold in front of us.
Yeah.
They thought Shaq Mason was the best option at right guard, and they released him. So they've got to do something on the interior offensive line.
Okay.
I don't like banking on the draft.
No.
I do like a team to be best player available as much as possible because that's the best thing for the long-term future of the team. If you go in desperate for an interior offensive lineman, that's when you start overthinking things a little bit. So at the very least, I'd like him to get some of these guys that are still out there that are either bona fide starters or fringe caliber starters, but they're veterans that I'd be cool with.
Okay, Seth, you have been momentarily put in charge of Texans social media and Texans game day presentation. You ready for this text?
Okay.
Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Texter says, Laramie doesn't get a head on the Mount Rushmore for the Texans, nor does he get a statue outside the building, but he was a stalwart and a really good player for the Texans. Does he get a thank you social media post from the McNairs and or a tribute video when the Commanders, if and when the Commanders ever come play in Houston? And it's first.
I think it should be a highlight reel of all the plays that were undone by Laramie Tunsil.
Yes, all the false starts. This person even has the nerve to ask, how long would the tribute video be? 3 minutes? 5 minutes? More? Okay, they're just being funny now, I think.
I think you should use it strategically and play it during a Commander's offensive drive. Mm-hmm. So, Laramie would definitely be be checking himself out.
For
like, start
sure.
it, keep it running. Keep it running as play is going on.
No sound, because you can't do that. But just, you know, so
oh
he can.
Oh my gosh, dude, can you imagine the Commanders in Houston? How loud it would be!
To get him
their
to jump.
Offense is on the field.
Yeah,
with the Texans pass rush, the Texans have created a lot of false starts
yeah.
through a combination at home of the ferocity of their pass rush and how loud it can get at NRG Stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be really, really cool. My dream would be that if there is a new stadium at some point in the next several years, that Laremy Tunsil is there starting at left tackle on day one and commits 12 false starts in the first half.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I don't think they play the NFC East next year.
Oh yeah! I don't think they'll have a new stadium by then.
No. But I just want the Commanders to come here for that very reason. And I'm trying to think back to 2022. I think they played up there in 2022 because they play them every 4 years.
Well, we already know who it is. I mean, it's out there. It's a record. We just don't know when it's going.
Commanders. Yeah. They cross over with that division. We got breaking news.
We have breaking news
from John Lopez. John, what is up?
Kenyon Green to the Eagles. For CJ Gardner.
Oh, really?
Pick swaps.
Okay, back up. Okay, say that again. Kenyon Green. Yeah.
To that Kenyon Green. To the Eagles for CJ Gardner Johnson.
Who's chippy? He's swarming.
No, CJ Gardner Johnson. And some pick swaps.
Like minor pick swaps?
Yeah,
like
fifth or something like that.
Fifth for a sixth or seventh. Okay.
I just ran in here as soon as we saw it.
Okay, that's something.
This is interesting. Okay, so now we talk about how the Texans have acknowledged that they've had to make some personnel decisions.
They're wiping everybody out and getting what they can get.
Unfortunately, next year...
John's got more. Hang on real quick, Seth.
Sending a fifth, getting back a sixth.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the Texans are on the short end of the pick swap, but I would say the very much upper end of the player swap there. Okay.
Wow. Now, Kenyon Green, I don't have the same level of acrimony for as I do Laremy Tunsil, because he's just a young player that hasn't worked out so far. I wish him all the best, hopefully. Now, he's going to one of the best offensive line coaches this century, so maybe they can get the best out of Kenyon Green.
That's the angle that I knew you were going to go to first off, because you're a big Jeff Stoutland fan. He coached at Cornell while you were there, and rightfully so. He's a great offensive line coach. That's the first thing I thought of, too, man. If anybody can get something out of Kenyon Green, if Kenyon Green can't turn into at least something respectable under Jeff Stoutland, then there's no reason he should get picked up anywhere else. You know?
Yeah.
That's it.
And staying healthy is a big thing for him.
That too.
He's just had issue after issue after issue.
CJ Gardner-Johnson, man. I like that.
That's chippy.
Yeah.
That's I'll tell you what. The Texans defense plays with a lot of swarm, but they also tend to draw a lot of flags too. So, but now, seeing it, one of the best things he did was in the Chiefs Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Remember that? CJ Gardner-Johnson was the guy that didn't bite on
Travis Kelce
doing his shenanigans,
right?
He tried to get up in CJ Gardner-Johnson's face. It wasn't him that held his hands behind his back.
Well, he may have. Jordan Davis did it too. And you may be thinking of Jordan Davis.
Oh, okay, maybe it was Jordan Davis.
Yeah. But I like this trade. Nick, nice work, man. Okay, well, we're up against it. Let's talk about this a little bit. You just missed it.
Oh, real quick, the Texans play in Washington in 2026.
That's what I thought. Okay, So we won't get to, unless we travel, we won't get to distract Laremy Tunsil. All right, so let's talk about this. The Texans make another trade. So not super active at the tippy top of the free agency market, but, man, some really interesting trades. And the messages that are getting sent on these trades about the offensive line in 2024, and if we're being honest, seasons prior to that, are fascinating. Let's get to that coming up next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Karam Injury Lawyer Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, good to be with you, Payne and Pendergast. You know, it's funny, the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, in the previous segment, I was still kind of paged down to like 20 minutes ago. I was kind of keeping a couple good texts on the screen that I was about to read. And then in runs John Lopez with breaking news. And during the break, I paged back to the top of the text page. About 9 minutes ago, everybody's screaming at me to go look at Twitter. 9 minutes ago. Sean, trade, Kenyon Green, all caps, look at Twitter. Oh, my God, they got something for him. I'll be honest with you. I told John this during the break, Seth. I told John Lopez this. If you missed it, Kenyon Green was just traded to the Eagles for C.J. Gardner-Johnson. And in the process, the two teams flip-flop fifth and sixth round picks next year. So the Texans get C.J. Gardner-Johnson, very productive safety, and a sixth next year for Kenyon Green and a fifth. When John Lopez came in and told me breaking news and the first two words out of his mouth were Kenyon Green.
Yeah.
If I had hit pause on John right there and said, okay, what's he about to say? I would have guessed Kenyon Green getting cut. I would not have guessed getting an actual functional asset for Kenyon Green.
For C.J. Gardner-Johnson has 2 years remaining on his contract for $19 million in total.
Okay.
And that's good. That's A-okay by me. Bring in a guy that's much more swarm than Kenyon Green was. And for anybody that's been, you know, arguing, hey, Laramie was well-liked by his teammates. Not as many as there used to be.
Yeah.
That's great that they liked him. Laramie was a bad influence on that offensive line room. It was a bad example to set a guy that only half cared about half of the game of football and played with zero physicality. They've gotten rid of Shaq. They've gotten rid of 60% of last year's starting offensive line at the beginning of the season.
Yep.
And Nick during the season, you know, was diplomatic and tried not to point fingers at, you know, said the offensive line. At one point he said it was a false narrative that the offensive line was struggling. Well, three of the five guys are gone now.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's a pretty good indication that, yeah, the offensive line was an issue last year.
But Shaq is the only one that they dumped in the side of the road like a recyclable. You know what I mean? Like you recouped good draft capital for Laramie Tunsil and cap space. You send Kenyon Green out and look, the overall draft pick of Kenyon Green is should be viewed as a failure. He was the 15th pick in the draft. You never got good play out of him. You got a lot of bad play out of him. He missed a whole year rehabbing injuries. It just never turned into anything. And especially when you look at the opportunity cost of you were 13th in the draft that year. You moved back to 15th because you felt good about Jordan Davis, who we just talked about.
Yeah.
That trade was made with the Eagles, by the way, the one where they wound up with Kenyon Green. The Eagles moved up from 15 to 13. You could add Jordan Davis. You could add Kyle Hamilton. You end up with Kenyon Green. That part's bad. So you recoup whatever you can, man. And the fact that they turned Kenyon Green, I don't care about the pick swap. The fact that they turned the last year of Kenyon Green into a couple years of C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who, by the way, on Pro Football Focus, was the 13th rated safety last year out of over 100 safeties. He's a good football player.
That secondary with Kalen Bullock coming along the way he has, man. That's good stuff, man. That's really good stuff.
Yes.
And we saw, as good as the defense was last year, there were too many times in critical moments in the fourth quarter where they had letdowns, or there were big plays allowed. The big plays were a big one. So having a veteran back there to play alongside Kalen Bullock is going to be nice. This is really cool. I guess my one, if I gotta try to find the dark cloud in all of this, from the team-building perspective, you've added another swarm-type player to the defense,
yeah.
But then the offense, which has very few swarm-type players, remains swarmless as of right now.
Well, you by definition, you've gotten more swarmy by taking negative-level swarmy players out of the mix.
Yeah.
By Laramie and Kenyon and Shaq merely not being there anymore, you're by definition swarmier than you were before. Your point is well taken. There is a lot of work to do on the offensive line now.
Look, scrappy guys can get their butts kicked real hard too, the same way non-scrappy guys can.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's more than just scrappiness. You got to have actual play to go along with it.
Hey, Nick, if you're listening, don't stop here. Titus, get him out of here. Get all the non-swarmers out of here, man. Titus, see you later. I don't care what you get for him. Get a six, get a pick swap, get something. You'll probably get more cap space by trading him out of here to go get more good players. As long as you're dismantling the offensive line, dismantle the whole thing, man. Don't half dismantle this ineffective bomb that was the offensive line.
Things got mold.
Yeah,
black mold on these studs.
Yes.
I'm still, when it comes to the younger guys, I think one of the reasons you had to get rid of Laramie Tunsil was the influence and the example that he sets. In terms of, hey, this is how a pro operates.
Yeah.
Where, no, he's a pass protection specialist. As much as the people want to put up his pass protection grades, they always leave out his run blocking grades, which are middling at best. And frankly, I think they're a little too generous. So it's a bad influence on guys who have potential to be blue collar physical players like Jarrett Patterson or Juice Scruggs or Blake Fisher. We need guys that are crusty old veterans in there. If you're going to bring a guy in who might not be all pro, but he's setting a good example for those young guys on defense. Look, they've done it with Jerry Hughes, for instance.
Yeah.
Jerry Hughes, he's not been a starter for the Texans, but he's the kind of veteran you want influencing your younger guys. Danielle Hunter. I mean, Danielle Hunter's the dream. There's not a Danielle Hunter in free agency right now on the offensive line. But those are the types of guys who are really good influences on the younger guy. The offense had Laramie Tunsil.
Yes.
And it couldn't be more night and day the difference in the way those guys operate on defense compared to the way Laramie Tunsil operates.
People are just as excited about this Kenyon Green trade as they were about the Laramie Tunsil trade.
I know. And I feel bad about it.
Kenyon Green's a great dude, I'm sure. And he's from the area here, but I just, symbolically, what he represents, I think, is what people are feeling.
He's still young, and there's still hope for him.
Yeah.
He's got to figure out a way to stay healthy. He is going to one of the best offensive line coaches this century in Jeff Stoutland. And like they had a reclamation project with Mekhi Becton.
Mekhi
Becton moved from tackle to guard with the Eagles and had a good season.
Remember, Kenyon's dad was the one who took a swipe on social media at Chris Strauser.
Yeah,
so
you can't complain
about who your kid's coach is now. He's got the best. How much cap space does this clear up? That's a text to the Jim Adler text line. None. It probably costs more if Seth's numbers are correct. 2 years, $19 million. Kenyon was set to make about $5 million this year. So it's probably using some of that cap space that they opened up with the Laramie Tunsil, or that they will open up with the Laramie Tunsil trade when the league year begins tomorrow. I'm glad they traded Kenyon Green and got a good safety. But why the Eagles? If we traded him to any other team, he's out of the league in a couple of years. Now he'll be a Hall of Famer for the Eagles.
I think, realistically, you put all the issues with his play aside, he's very, very injury-prone for a bigger guy and has been. I mean, he's been injured almost constantly since he came into the league.
Yeah.
I I think that's going to be the biggest obstacle for him. I think Jeff Stoutland can probably do some good things with him, but I'm not overly worried that this is going to turn into some kind of sour grape scenario a couple of years down the line.
Nick Caserio is Michael Corleone-ing the entire offensive line, like the heads of the five families in The Godfather. That's from JV Tamales and Katie. That's great.
Look, sometimes also when you try to overthink a situation, you might be trying to figure out, like, well, this guy in a different environment, he might be okay. What is this? Nope. You got a tumor in the offensive line room. You just got to lop it all out. Whatever tissue remains.
Rip it out. This ain't a chemo situation. We're ripping it out, man. People loving this trade right now. At this point, Tytus Howard is gone. A lot of people, Tytus is probably wondering if he's next. LOL. Kidding. Kinda. The Texter says. Oh, my God.
I mean, Tytus was seemed to be very much an admirer of Laremy Tunsil and everything that came with Laremy Tunsil.
Yeah.
The whole thing about I shy away from this because, look, younger athletes are going to be different than other athletes. But Laremy Tunsil's Instagram shenanigans and his outfits and everything just screamed everything that's against your classic really good offensive lineman. And it felt like Tytus was like, oh, boy, that's what I got to aspire to. I got to aspire to be a more influencer than actual offensive lineman. So maybe you remove the influence of Laremy Tunsil and Tytus Howard can become more of a blue-collar
maybe.
Type
it's
of
more
dude.
Fun if they ship him out, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I like this. I like lop it all off.
This is fun.
Don't overthink.
It's the last 20 minutes of The Godfather. The Texter's absolutely right now.
Yeah, you just kill everybody.
Kill everybody.
Take a Tommy gun to the hole. Tell the young guys to duck.
Yeah.
And then kill everybody.
Juice, Jarrett. Juice. Hit the floor.
Hit the floor, Blake.
Oh, my God. That is great. All right. So, and things are popping. And big thank you to Nick Caserio for executing that trade during our show. That was really nice of him to do. We got the John Lopez run-in.
That's my second or third run-in.
Hey, we need theme music for you when you're running here, I think. You know, like you're running down the ramp on Monday Night Raw. You hit someone with a chair. Yeah. How you guys doing?
Oh, I got a smile on my face.
I didn't even know you had teeth before. Look at you.
Actually, I was thinking, and you may hear this, The Goodfellas scene when Eric Clapton is playing Layla.
It's one of the greatest scenes. That's one of the greatest pieces of music in history.
Yes.
Underneath one of the greatest scenes. Yeah, and the bodies are all turning.
Yeah,
up.
And they got Kenyon Green hanging in a cooler.
Kenyon
frozen.
Laremy Tunsil getting flipped over inside a garbage truck.
Yes.
Like Frenchie. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. Well,
that's what's happening. And by the way, Tytus Howard, be nervous.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, you're on notice.
Be nervous.
Yeah. Keep your head on a swivel. Yeah. How you feeling, Reggie?
My head's swimming.
Yeah.
Like I am thinking about all these things. We've already established this between me and you that I have a little bit of a penchant for anxiety.
Yes.
So as much as I'm like living off of the idea that Nick Caserio is absolutely hanging his you know what's and just putting him on the table, right? Like I'm also like, so how do we fix this offensive line now?
Yeah, no, it's true.
Like, wait, where is this going?
You always have to have somebody that's thinking a couple steps ahead.
So you don't feel good about Ladarius Henderson starting at left guard?
Hey, man, if that's the cost of doing business for now, so be it. Yeah. It was funny. I said to Seth like 30 minutes ago, I'm like, all right, we do need to look at this rationally here. If they were to play a game tomorrow, their offensive line is probably Fisher, Kenyon, Patterson, Juice, and Tytus left to right.
Yeah.
Now, I don't even know.
Ladarius Henderson and Nick Broeker.
Those are the last two standing? Okay, oh my God. Yeah, I said Broeker, bro. When they traded Kenyon, I said it's probably Broeker. Okay.
You know, bleep it. I'm deciding to lean into the fun of this.
Yes! It's a blast.
I am more excited about the idea that Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans have proven that they are going to do whatever necessary to get this thing to where it needs to be.
It's a teardown, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a teardown in the O-line room.
And now Cam Smith is going to break camp with the Astros. I know that that's not official, but I'm willing to take it to that place at this point.
We may as well, man.
I'm all in.
We got a big lineup for the Rockets whose efficiency ratings are through the roof. I just clicked on that.
Yeah, they beat the mess out of the Magic, man.
With Steven Adams and Alpi on the floor. I can have fun amidst all these Amen Thompson injuries.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, what's the big question of the day?
Oh, I got one for you. Okay. We have one for you.
Yeah.
I don't know
you
why.
You can take credit.
It's just something we do. Okay, what B.O.B. moment will you never get over? Now that Laramie, the last two are Titus and Kymie Fairbairn, not counting John Weeks.
The last two, what was the last?
The last two B.O.B. holdovers.
Oh, the last two holdovers. Yeah. Okay,
Murray. Eric Murray gets a lucrative contract with the Jaguars.
Yeah, because he's gone.
He's gone.
Yeah. Laramie's gone.
Yep.
Last two holdovers, as by my calculations, not counting John Weeks.
No, yeah, we did the same thing, and I think you're exactly right.
Is Titus Howard and Kymie Fairbairn.
So what's the question again?
What B.O.B. moment will you never get over?
Will I never get over?
Because the Laramie trade was an awful lot.
It was an awful lot. You needed a left tackle. Yeah. I'm making the obvious. Like, the DeAndre Hopkins trade is a big one. Mm-hmm. I think that if you were to put up a poll, I think that would win, but boy, there's a lot of them. Well, there's so many that don't involve him even being a GM. I'll tell you one.
You suck too.
You suck too as a mole. I don't want to suck. Look, I don't want to theme your show. No, do it. Do it. I don't want to theme your show.
Do it.
The fake punt in the Kansas City Chiefs game that was complete. You were winning at that point.
With a hurt Justin Reed.
With an injured Justin Reed. Then there's the Wattcat. Oh, my God. I'm going to have to listen to all 4 hours today of you guys.
We got a lot going on.
There's no workout for me. There's no nothing. It's in the loop for mm-hmm. 4 straight hours.
Mm-hmm. Get your workout in. Listen to Seth.
This is Reginald. This has been a recent trend with Caserio. Kind of quiet and underwhelming right when the starting gun fires. But then the second day, things get really interesting. Yeah. So, yeah, I would expect at least one trade in the next 2 or 3 days. One more trade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, we said early this morning, like, we might get a trade pretty quick, and all of a sudden, boom. Yeah.
Kenyon Green.
He delivered.
Kenyon Green, Gonzo.
Last thing, because now I'm going to give you my confession for 2.5 hours from now. I kind of want to get Nick Caserio a gift.
For all this action?
Yeah, I've never done that for a general man. I just want to get him something.
He likes coconut water.
Card.
Yeah.
Coconut water.
Coconut water. Some kale.
Kale.
Yeah.
OG sauce.
I don't think he's aware. Yeah, does that have sugar in it? Does that have sugar in it?
Yeah.
He is puking right now.
He'll re-gift that thing like that. Yeah.
It is tough, but it's got to be kind of tough. You know, when they traded down the way they did to get Kenyon Green, when the two mm-hmm. players that went above Kenyon Green that the Texans easily could have had are much, 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 much better football players than Kenyon Green. That's tough.
Yeah.
There's got to be a part of him in trading away is like, yeah, this is the right thing to do. And man, oh boy.
That's tough. Okay, I'm going to do this very quickly because I don't want to hijack y'all's show. This is how I sleep at night, knowing that they could have had Kyle Hamilton instead of Kenyon Green. I choose to believe that in that 2022 season, Kyle Hamilton might have gone and won a game for them. And now you're not picking C.J. Stroud second anymore.
Yeah,
you know, you maybe win 4 games instead of 3.
Yeah.
That's how I sleep at night.
It's a good idea.
I wanted Kyle Hamilton badly.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just tell you.
Before you guys go, apparently there's a new quarterback in division.
Oh, yes. Seth Daniel Jones finalizing a 1-year deal with the Colts.
Oh, yeah. This is the genuine competition that Chris Ballard was talking
about.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Jones and Richardson.
Yes.
The two least accurate quarterbacks.
Oh, the race to 50%. Oh.
All right. This is going to be a fun day, man.
Can't wait
to listen to you guys.
Thanks, man.
Antibodies to you, my friend. Seth.
Oh, yeah, antibodies.
Seth.
I think Seth thinks that I wasn't referring to him.
I'm getting all these requests to go on radio shows today in other parts of the country that I'm not going to accept.
What are
the Texans doing? I don't know. Go die. That's what I say to you. The rest of the league, you're on notice. We're coming at you. We're going to line up with 2 offensive linemen. We don't give a damn.
We don't care.
Yeah.
All right, we're done. We're out of time. KLT AM, KLT FM HD2, Houston, an Odyssey Sports Station.
Oh, this is so good.
That's what you're listening to. The bodies are turning up, man. In the loop, Reggie Atatula, John Lopez, Figgy Fig. They're in the loop and they start now.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5HourEnergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.